We are at Becky and Phil's. It's Wednesday, the 7th of February, 2018, and Becky is due a baby any time now, and we're all excited, and she's having those Branston Hicks. Is it Branston Hicks?
Braxton.
Braxton Hicks. There you go, not Branston. That's a...
pickle.
That's a pickle, yeah. Well, you're in a bit of a pickle now, aren't you, eh? God bless her heart. So we're all excited, so I'll be becoming an uncle again, Phil becoming a daddy again, and Becky becoming a mummy again, and that's a joy of family. And, you know, we're born again of God's Spirit, and so we're born again into God's family. You know, I've been thinking about, there's lots of times we pray for God to do stuff, but really God has given us the authority that we can declare His word and that we can say what we want, not what we see. And so sometimes there's things that we can pray for everything, which is a great thing, that we cast all our cares to Him because He cares for us. But then there's, you know, an effort from us that what God puts in your heart to do, what He inspires you to do, you know, that's what you should do. And because God is working in you, He's given us that enablement, that Holy Spirit, that dunamis, is potential power. And we're the ones that has to exercise that potential power. And it all starts with speaking in tongues. So, you know, we can speak in tongues, we can interpret tongues, we can prophesy, we can receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discern the spirits, we can have faith to remove mountains, that manifestation of faith, miracles, gift of healings. All that is in that one gift of Holy Spirit, and it all starts with that speaking in tongues. And then when we got the word of faith, when we got the word of God in our heart, and we're speaking in tongues, we're walking in relationship with God, then we can start to exercise our authority. I was looking at the word in Luke where they said that Jesus, like, what a word is this? For with authority and power. And so one word is exousia, exercise power, and one word is dunamis. So one word is that authority. When he talked with authority, he was exercising power that God has given him, that birthright, which comes from relationship. So that dunamis is our relationship type of thing, if you put it in that kind of, to get a concept of it. But it's when we exercise it, when we use what God has given us, that we can start to see heavenly results, miracles of healing and deliverance, casting out devils, speaking to the problem, getting answers, encouraging other people, witnessing by the power of God and letting God work in us. But it starts with us speaking in tongues and that relationship with God, that prayer with God. These things that God has been showing me, that, like, in just reading the word, God will really open it up to you by His Spirit. And He'll show you what to work, He'll show you what to study, He'll show you what He wants you to do, what He wants you to understand. And then so we trust God with all our heart with those things when we're reading His word. And then what He shows you as you're reading, any thoughts, idea, inspiration that comes from you, you can make notes and you can study that area. And then you can believe God to release that, you know, exercise that. But we just do what God wants us to do, and we're to be led by that Spirit within us. So when circumstances arise, we've got to realize that the circumstances, any circumstances, are not bigger than God. And the circumstances are designed to keep us in fear and to stop moving in our authority. And, you know, sometimes, like, things just come up and it rocks us a bit. But if we've been speaking in tongues, if we've been reading the word, if we've been in that relationship with God, then we know our first reaction will be to go to God and then to follow that direction He gives to us. But, like, there's nothing that should stop us from moving. I think sometimes it's only when we're looking at those circumstances, it provokes emotions in us and thoughts and ideas, and we become discouraged. And God says don't become discouraged. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you take your Bible, and we're going to have a look there. So God really is with us. He is for us. And sometimes, you know, we're praying when we could be acting, or where we could be saying what God says rather than saying what the circumstance says. Because we all find ourselves in, at times, saying the wrong things, and we need each other to remind ourselves, you know. But we just got to learn to discipline ourselves that, you know, we need to say what we want. And what we want is the promises of God. And a lot of people say, I believe God. A lot of people believe in God, and there's a difference then to believe God. Like the devil spirits, they believe there's a God and they tremble, right? So that should make us realize that there should be action on our part. There's a relationship, you know, with that. And our faith is built up from the promises of God. That's what we put our faith in. We put our faith in what God is saying to us. Like when God told Noah to go and build the ark, he believed God. And how do we know we believe God? Because he built the ark. See, so you can tell where people's faith is. And then James talks about faith. And then, so you can read the book of James yourself, where it talks about faith and how faith is demonstrated, if it's faith, if it isn't faith. And so we got to check ourselves. Are we really believing God? Sometimes we think, because we're believers and we know scriptures, that we're actually believing God. But so it's good to do a checkup from the neck up. Really go through and say, Father, just sharpen me up in my heart and mind where I have mental assent. You know, where I think I'm believing you, but I'm actually not. And that takes humility, humbleness, to recognise, yeah, like, perhaps I'm not really believing God here. Perhaps I've just been mental assenting. And I've caught myself on with this. I'm like, oh gosh, here's me. I'm saying I believe in God, but I'm taking any action. I'm not even talking good about my situation. You know what I mean? So then we just catch ourselves on. But the great thing is that we got the Word of God to remind us of those things. And if we're on our own, there's not really many people there to remind you, right? But if we're fellowshipping together, that's why we're called to the body of Christ. Because we all need to encourage one another. And there's so many different fellowships, as we've been talking about before fellowship tonight. So many believers around the world, and they're all doing their own thing, like their own focus with God. And I don't believe that's 100% correct. No, God's called us to one body. And we may be in our areas focusing where we are, but we should never neglect the rest of the body. Because there's something that you can give. You know, always look. There's always something that you can give. So that you can receive, so that you can be blessed. God's designed us to be givers. He's given us Holy Spirit so that we can manifest his power to give, see? He's given us his word, so not only can we receive it, but we can also give it out as well. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. And this is the thing, God is faithful in everything. And he really is faithful, even when we haven't 100% believed. He's still faithful. He still meets our needs. He still comes through because he is our Father and he cares for us. But he wants us to truly believe him. So, but God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. So when we're walking with our Father, there's nothing that will come up in this life that you won't be able to handle, that you won't be able to overcome. See, because in other words, he's saying, look, whatever comes up in your life, you'll be able to overcome it. And this is the reason why. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it or to bear up under whatever's going on. When you'll find yourself in, faced with a challenge or a situation, just stand your ground. Go to God. Go to God in prayer. Father, what do I do in this situation? Find that promise of God to you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. And let's really say and prove that we believe God. Because we can bump our gums with verses of scripture. We can bump our gums with, I know this Hebrew word, this Koine Greek, I know this. I know Genesis to Revelations. All right, but God says, where's your action? Where, prove your faith by your action. Prove your faith by your not only your confession, but your actions. When we're truly believing God, there is always an answer. There's always a solution. There's always a direction. God will bring us together with like-minded people. And we can also pray for new people, like God, you send the laborers to us that we can declare your word. And, you know, you don't have to wait to declare God's word. You've already been sent, right? God's already given the Holy Spirit to you and to be those witnesses. And, you know, when they received the Holy Spirit, they went. And God was working with them, confirming the word with signs, miracles and wonders following. Because they were walking in their sonship. They knew what they have received. They've been instructed. Mm. And we've also been instructed. And we can instruct other people. And the key is that we go to God as individuals and we do what God shows us to do. That's the key. But God doesn't work across purposes. And a house that is divided against itself won't stand. So that's why God's called us to the body. You know, the one body to help each other, to sharpen one another. So no one, not one of us can think, well, I don't need to hear what you got to say. Or what you got to teach, because I work the word myself. I don't need to hear what you got to say. That's not a humble heart. I can do signs and miracles. I don't need you. That's a carnal mind. And so when our heart is set on God, we're going to be doing what he wants us to do. See, it's not about what we want to do. It's about doing the will of the Father, that Jesus Christ is the Lord in my life. He's taken that authority. I've given him that authority where I'm going to do what God has shown me to do and what God's working in me to do. And Jesus Christ was the greatest example of that. You know, I think Paul was next in line with that as well. And they'd done what the Father wanted them to do. But Jesus Christ was perfect in that. So in Isaiah 43, sometimes we think that we're just weighing over our heads, that we're going to sink and we're going to drown. And we've all been there. And sometimes we revisit that, you know, because we have an enemy. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. But God has given us authority. We need to exercise that authority. Just like we need to work the word, read the word for our hearts and minds, we need to also exercise the spiritual authority. Because you are powerful and we have to believe it. Do we believe we're powerful? Do we believe speaking in tongues keys off everything else in us? See, do we believe we can raise the dead, that we can heal the sick, we can cleanse the leper by the power of God, that we can see great outreach and growth? Do we believe it can happen? Because we haven't seen it happen doesn't mean to say it's never going to happen. Because God is going to make that happen. And if we ain't believing, he'll rise someone up else in our place to believe. Because his word will run swiftly. And his word is running swiftly. And except the Lord build the house, those that labour, labour in vain. Unless God is there working, you know, guiding, leading, prompting. So we need to tune into God and realise that, you know, you're a child of God. And you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You've been enabled to do the same works that Jesus Christ done. That the power that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, that power, that same power that raised him up from the dead is in you. See? And we're going to see this in the scripture a bit later on. But in Isaiah 43, verse 16 through to 19, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." Some people might have a puddle of a trouble, and some people might have mighty waters, all right? God is the one which makes a way in those puddles or in those mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariots and horse, and the army and the power. There shall light down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as a tow. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers to run in the desert. So Isaiah, God, by way of Isaiah, was reminding the people, look, what did God do for the children of Israel? He made a way in the wilderness and in the sea. He opened the sea up, children of Israel went through it. All right, by the power of God, he caused there to be dry land, they went through it. When the enemy chased, what did God do? He closed the sea up. He's reminding them of this. Don't forget. But he's also saying, it seems like a contradiction, remember not the former things. But it's not. This is an encouragement reminding you of the power and the might of God, that he's with you and he's for you. It says, behold, I do a new thing. We're to forget the things of old. Right, today is a new day, a brand new day. You are a new creation in Christ. You've got the Spirit of God. You need to remind yourself that you've got the Spirit of God, that you are connected with the greatest mafiosa going, which is God, right? In that, you know, like you got a criminal underworld and they're connected with their different connections and they say, don't mess with me because I'm connected to Don Carione or whatever his name is. I'm connected to, you know, all these big top guys. And then you wouldn't mess with them. Well, we're connected to the Most High God, the one true God who created the heavens and the earth. Right? He's a mighty, powerful God, and he's your father. People better not mess with us, right? Because they have to deal with the creators of the heaven and the earth, and he watches over his people. And if we're standing on his word, and we're standing and we're obedient children to our God, he's going to take care of us, right? He watches out for us. And when we're claiming his promises, he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word. We're covered in every area. And we got to be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. But if we're looking at our circumstances all the time, then we become low in faith. So we got to look to God. And we can do that not just by prayer, but by going to his word, reminding ourselves of what a mighty God he is. I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. So if you're feeling lost right now, God's going to give you a direction, so that you can get back to moving powerfully with him. And if you're dried up right now, you know, in your life, in your finances, in your relationship, he's going to wet you up so that you got a supply, because he's supplied all of our needs. Now, we need to claim what's ours. God has given it to us. Claim it. You're entitled. It's your entitlement as a son, a daughter of God. And he wants you to be blessed. He has blessed us so we can be in a position to be a blessing. So God specializes in showing his power in hopeless situations. And we've got to remember that. Israel was just such a place when God parted the seas before them, like I just mentioned. Daniel, okay, was protected in the lion's den. Paul and Silas was delivered. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were delivered. What God will do for one, he'll do for other. And those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Okay, now we got the Spirit of God in us. We haven't got the Spirit of Elijah. We haven't got the Spirit of Moses. But we got the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead dwelling in us. And we just got to believe it. Okay, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So our confession, as you know, the theme that God put in my heart for this year was Romans 1. 17, where it says that the just shall live by faith. We're not to live by fear, we're not to live by doubt or worries, but the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. See, the thing, if your faith's low, you need to get a dose of the word, right? You need to hear that word spoken into your life. And, you know, not just from your own, you know, not just from your own personal reading and your confession, but someone gets somewhere where the word's being taught hot, where people are looking to God, where people are desiring, and then that'll inspire faith in you. See, faith, genuine faith, will inspire faith in other people. Are you inspiring faith with your words? Are you inspiring faith through your ministry, if you're a minister? You know, are you inspiring faith through what you're teaching? Is results coming? Because God wants us to have results. And because we may not have seen some for a while, doesn't mean to say we can't get some. We just need to get back in right believing, you know, which comes from the word, right confession, and then looking to God and allowing him to do the work. So he does the work. Moses didn't part the sea, God did, right? But he done what God told him to do, he done, and God was enabled to do that for him. You know, he requires faith. God requires faith, and he requires us to act upon his word as well as say what his word says. And when we say what God says, we're coming into agreement with God. And God is very pleased with that, because he's a faith God. Read Hebrews 11:6, and it tells you that God is a faith God, and that what he requires is your faith, your believing. Faith is believing, and believing is acting on the word, whether that's physically or with your confession. So in 1 Corinthians 4:19, we read this. And this is what Paul says. He says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will not know the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power." He's saying, look, I'm going to come to you guys, and I don't care what you know. He said, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. In other words, what's your results? What's being manifested in your life? What's happening? See? And that's the big difference. So you can have all the knowledge you want in the world. You can be this biblical scholar, right, and know all Hebrew, Greek, and understand all mysteries. But if you've got no faith, then it's worthless. Because if you got faith, you'll be acting, you'll be declaring, you will be getting results. And God wants all of us to be successful. He wants all of us to have results. And if we're not seeing them, then we just need to become humble and meek. Father, look, I'm not seeing what I know your word says I should have. And I just come to you and ask you to help me to walk in these wonderful works that you've before ordained that I should walk in. Because God's before ordained this, as we know, as it says in, you know, that you are his workmanship. You're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. And the good works are the good works of Jesus Christ. And people were set free mentally, spiritually, set free from devil spirits. They were physically healed. They were raised from the dead. And that's the life. That's the normal Christian life. That's what we should be walking in. And so we have to become humble and say, Father, look, you know, I must be missing it somewhere. No, I'll come humble. I don't know anything. I'm coming to you. And I humbly ask you to show me what I need to do, to walk with you, to be a blessing with you. And God's just saying, look, just do what I'm showing you. And just believe me and say what I say. And really, your confession is going to give you the outcome as well as your initial reaction. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll go there. It's another great record. And it says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," your believing in the Lord Jesus. This was Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, right? "And love unto all the saints. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer." So we can pray for one another. Mm-hmm. And this prayer that Paul prayed, we can also pray for ourselves. You put your name there, and you can pray over your families as well. It says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glories of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." So this power, not only did God raise Jesus Christ up with this power and he filled us with it, but this power is over all the power and authority of the enemy. So how powerful just are you? How powerful are you? And when we're looking to God and we want to do his thing and we got his desires and we understand these things and we know what to say, we know how to act, and we know when God is leading us by his Spirit. So number one, this is what Paul prayed for. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. In other words, our eyes, the veil of unbelief, the veil of darkness or religion, are not over our eyes anymore. Okay, but they've been enlightened that we may, what? Know the hope of his calling. God wants you to know the hope of his calling. Number two, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You've got an inheritance, right? We've inherited this eternal life. We've inherited the power of God in us. So God wants us to understand the complete authority we have in Christ, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. So you've got to realize this is, we're powerful. God has equipped you. He's fully equipped you. You've got every enablement. And that is activated when we are humble to God, when we're seeking his heart, when we're being led by the Spirit, when we're speaking in tongues, when we're utilizing the manifestations of Holy Spirit. So understanding the authority you have and how to use it. And I've done a short video of this on my YouTube channel, and I also put it on my website, www.graceloveandtruth.com, with this, first time you listen to this. So, the English Oxford Living Dictionary says this about the word authority. It says, the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And then it says an example, he had absolute authority over his subordinates. Listen, the devil and his devil spirits, sickness, disease, right, they are subordinate to us. Our authority, which we have in Christ, is above all the power and authority of the enemy's kingdom. Satan's still the god of this world, he still operates. But when you take your stand as a believer, when you know who you are in Christ, when you understand this authority that you've got, then you'll start taking charge over situations. You can command situations. And God can also inspire you to tell you what to say in certain situations, what to cast out your way. So any problems that comes up, then remember your authority. Remember that God has given that for you to use, and he's working with you. And as you declare, it will happen. And you enforce God's word in your life. You enforce it by the words of your mouth and doing what God says. In Job 22:28, it says this, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. I'll read it again. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. The person making the decree must be in a position of power and authority to do so. So are you in a position and a power, authority to decree or to say, to declare? Like if you think Jesus Christ said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you bound in heaven shall be loosed on earth, right? You have the power and authority to make decrees and expect that they be carried out. You shall decree. The power is yours. State your case. What does God say? So we say what God says, see? So you declare what you are according to the promises of God. And what God also shows you here, give you words to say. And then when we do that, when we release that, we've released our authority, and things in this atmosphere start to change because the power of our words, right? Because the power of our words is the word of God, is spirit, is life, it's taken effect in the world. All life is conditioned by words. The enemy's throwing endless suggestions, it says in the Word of God. He smites with a continual stroke. He doesn't give up. So we should not give up. We should keep declaring and saying what God says when we're challenged, when we're ministering to people. That word is light and it cuts through the darkness. It dispels darkness from our lives first and in the lives of the people we're ministering to. And when our heart is set to do what God wants us to do, then he will give us works. See, are we desiring the works? Are we desiring the labours? Or do we have a format that we want to put into operation because that's how we think it should be? Well, if you've got a format, I'm sorry, you're doomed to fail. You might have little successes, but it's not going to be impacting the kingdom of God, because God doesn't give formats. He gives you a way where there is no way. He's a faith God. Yes, there's an order that we can move. God is a God of order. Let all things be done decently in order within the church, how we operate. We're all individuals. We can all be led by the Spirit of God. We can all be directed by God. And then when we come together, there's an order, you know. But we shouldn't be building up our little ministries all. We're doing it this way because this is what we believe. And yeah, I respect this person, their beliefs over there, and that's fine. We won't judge them. And, you know, no, it's not like, come on, this is the church of God. God wants us to move together, and we can. Luke chapter 7, we understand about authority. We'll understand about the words. In Luke chapter 7, we read this record. Verse 1. Now when he, Jesus, had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built a synagogue. This guy, okay, this is what he's saying about this guy. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto the Lord, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. So this guy was humble, meek, knew his place, you know, knew who the Lord was, and he was humble. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. You just say the word, right? Look at the confidence. And why did he have this confidence? And the next verse tells us, for I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So he understood that when he gave a command, that whatever was to be done was going to be done, right? When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about and said unto him, the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant that had been sick, found him healed, right? So that's just really a powerful statement. And because this guy understood authority, Jesus didn't have to go waste his time, yeah. Which he wouldn't have wasted his time if he went there, but it was just highlighting faith. Because people believe in God, but they don't believe God. But there are people that do believe God. In other words, they take action upon the written word of God, the word of God that God's speaking to their heart, and they get results. And if you want to get results, you can't just believe in God. You have to believe him. You have to take God at his word and do what he's showing you to do. Apply it. As he's working with you. See, he's working in you. Like when you get up in the morning, when you're going through the day, he's working with you. If you're listening, if you're speaking in tongues, if you're God inside minded, he shows you what to do, where to stop, you know, when to go. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And he's got doors open for you wherever you go as well. So, you know, you might not feel complete. You might not feel peaceful. You might not feel righteous. But the word of God says we are complete in Christ. We have peace. We are righteous. See, we're set apart. We are holy and without blame. Do you believe this? This is the point. Do you believe what the word of God says about you? I am free from the law and sin and death. Romans 8:2. I reign as a king by Jesus Christ, do you? Do you reign in this life by one Christ Jesus, or do you reign in this life by your knowledge, or by your wisdom, or by your bank balance? Or do you reign in Christ in this life by the Lord Jesus Christ because you're being led by the Spirit of God, that your heart is set to do what God wants you to do, regardless of the desires you might want to do? And God does give you the desires of your heart, but he needs to be first. So we have spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are sons of God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. We're born again of incorruptible seed, we're ambassadors, we're the head and not the tail. We're rooted and we're built up and established. We're healed, we're prospering. We're seated at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. See, this is all the things, or some of the things, that we are in Christ. So that shows you your position of authority. And God says, do you understand this? Do you really understand it? And if not, you can understand it. And God can give you wisdom concerning these things. And then when you walk in it is when things start to happen. So the power of God is released through your confession. And God wants you to use your confession, like Matthew, we've read Mark 11:22-24, where Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this problem, be thou removed, be thou cast into a sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we can have doubt even when we believe, right? So how do we overcome that? We deal with the doubt, and then we speak to the problem. Right, so we stay in faith, we stay believing. So anyway, we're going to just finish off in Ephesians again. We're going to go back to Ephesians, and we're going to read two prayers of Paul in Ephesians. We've already gone through a little bit of it, but I'm going to go cover it again, and we're going to finish off in Ephesians. And these prayers, you can pray for yourself. You can pray for your family, and the eyes in those prayers, yeah? Put your own name there, or even put someone else's name there. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, and I'm just going to read these because it's just so beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful to read. And just to read it slowly, then God really does inspire you with things. So in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ's feet, and your feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What a wonderful prayer, and you can pray that. And also Ephesians chapter 3, we'll read from verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing. Christ dwells in your heart by believing. That you being rooted and grounded in love. That's where he wants us to be, rooted and grounded in love. Not in our love, not in a phileo love or an eros love, but in agape love, his love, which energizes faith. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Well, if we're little fractions here and there all over the world, how can we comprehend with all saints? May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth what? Knowledge. The love of Christ passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, if you think the fullness of God, that's just hard to comprehend, isn't it? The fullness of God. Now, unto him, God, that is able, see, he's able and he's willing to do exceedingly abundantly. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask him or think. So how big can you ask God for things? How big are you believing? See, how much word do you know? How much do you trust God's word to you? And according to his word, the more the word of God you know, the more you're walking with the Father, you'll start asking for big things. And it'd be to accomplish his work in your life so that you can help accomplish it in other people's lives. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, above all, anything you ask or think, he can go way above it, mega abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above it, according to what? The power that worketh in you. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all age, world without end. See, look, we got authority. We got the Spirit of the living God. Why should we live below par? And there are areas all of us are living below par where God wants us to really rise up. And we can. And we got his word that we can read and understand what's addressed to us. We can see the examples in there. We got what God works in our heart and our personal life to show us to do. We got the body of Christ where we can encourage one another. And we need to be there for one another. It doesn't matter where you live. We can still be there for another brother or sister in Christ. And we should be. It's our duty. If we're walking in love. And we're doing what God's showing us to do. We don't just leave people out there sat on their own. That's so wrong. When it's in the power of your hand to be a blessing, then you should be a blessing. When it's in the power of your hand to encourage, you should encourage. When it's your power in your hand to provide the things that they might need for their living, then you provide those things. If you've got it in the power of your hand. You know, we say we love God, but we don't love our brother. How can we say we love God if we don't love our brother? And that can be covered in many different areas. So these are just some things in my heart I just wanted to share tonight. And it was just building upon what I shared on that little video teaching I'd done the other day, which is on YouTube. So anyway, God bless you.